I swear in the new studio, I will be closer to the board.
There you go.
Yeah. Hello, welcome to the Sprocket Podcast, where we are simplifying the good life. My name is Brock Dittus.
And I'm Aaron Flores, broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally while having a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
Covering bicycling, trains and transit, and simpler living. And today, we're just going to say Dr. Jeff.
Dr. Jeff. It's all it needs to be said.
It's its own subject.
Yes. Hello, Mr. Jeff. We hope you enjoyed the dish of brown M&Ms.
That was the best. The trailer was nice. The temperature was a little off, but it was okay.
Excellent.
Please forgive us.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Yeah. welcome back. We were trying to figure out the amount of time that it's been since you've joined us, and it's been a good, healthy amount of time. So
As I said, I'm in my mid 50s, and time I can't calculate how long anything's been anymore.
Time waits for no man except Dr. Jeff.
So Clinton's in office still, right?
As far as we know.
Okay. Sure.
I haven't been told otherwise.
Good enough.
That's what happens when you kill your television. Aaron.
Yes.
How was a midnight mystery ride?
It was fucking amazing.
Yeah. I really wish that I had been able to go.
It was long as shit, too.
Really?
Yeah.
Longer than the standard 5-mile route? Or half an hour?
It seemed longer.
Okay.
Anyways. We did start in North Portland, so having to ride out there
made it
seem longer.
Already the farthest distance away from most participants than most other places in town. Unless they started
You would think so.
Yeah.
But we just kept going north.
Did you leave the state?
It was pretty close. Well, you know where this place is, actually. This is one of your favorite places in the city.
Oh, right. Is this a place that's closed after 10?
Possibly.
Okay.
But you wouldn't know anything about that. It's not in Cathedral Park.
Oh. Oh, yeah.
But it's near, you know. All right.
I do like that place.
Yeah.
Excellent. Jeff, do you have an inkling of what we're talking about?
I don't even really want to hazard a guess.
Okay, easy enough. Yeah, well, to protect all...
Well, you were close with hazard.
Oh, God.
Would you say that you had a super fun time while you were there?
Why, yes, I did.
Okay, excellent. Well, very good. And you made cookies this time.
I made cookies. I made cardamom almond cookies.
Yeah. You spared no expense. One of the most expensive spices in the world.
And I made sure everyone knew that. Third most expensive spice. By way, here you go, guys.
We brought you this.
Appreciate it, you drunks.
Straight from the Silk Road.
No, I didn't do that. I was just, this is how I make friends. Bribery.
Oh, easy enough. That seems to work.
And yeah. And I can never remember this guy's name. And I hope he doesn't listen. Just because I can't remember his name.
It's cool.
And it's...
He won't know.
Terribly embarrassing.
Right? Well, right. If you don't say his name, now you can't say his name.
But this dude, well, if I say this detail, he'll know
who
I'm talking about.
Okay.
Him. Brought Jiffy Pop.
Ooh.
And cooked it over the campfire.
That's pretty awesome.
It was
pretty
badass. Treat.
Yeah.
It was as much fun to make as it is to eat.
That's right.
Is this official copy?
Yeah.
Yeah. From the Clinton administration.
I get bags and bags of Jiffy Pop every time I'm on any kind of podcast.
Yeah.
I love Jiffy Pop.
So we're falling down on the job then.
Yeah.
Give me like 15 minutes. I'll be right back. Just down the street. Yeah. Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And how late were you out?
I got home around 4.
That's pretty good.
You know, it was an early night.
There you go.
By comparison.
I wasn't there to break my glasses this time.
Right.
It was good. Right. It's not the reason I didn't go.
But yeah, riding back from St. John's at, like, I don't know, I guess it must have been 3 when we took off, maybe closer to 2:30.
Yes, yeah. I'm trying to remember the one for the anniversary of Montana's statehood that we went to a while back.
Savvy Island? Was it?
Swan, I believe.
Swan Island.
Hypothetically.
Yes.
Yeah, we were down somewhere in that vicinity. Right. Not with Lenny Anderson's approval, I think, but, you know. And
I think he had tacit approval.
Okay. All right. In fact, he was a civil disobediencer.
Disobediente.
So he probably would kind of get behind that sort of thing.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. Easy enough. I'll just imagine him smiling beatifically from the sky.
Because he's on a plane or something.
I was just thinking that his
or a hot air balloon,
spirit
maybe.
Looms so large over the area. Oh, it was right, kind of right. like behind one of the ships that was docked or something like that.
I can see that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but that was, I'm trying to remember how late we were. And that already feels like a long ride back because you have to go out of that area up a large hill.
Yeah.
But, well, but this is from St. John's.
Finding your way out from Swan Island was... Mm. That I think was the most stressful part.
Especially if you think you're on Savi Island.
Yeah, good point.
Where's the line 17 before the schedule change? I'm trying to remember. I think it's now the line 11 that goes to Savi Island. I could be wrong about that.
When they changed the bus schedule, did they only go for the ones that people liked and intentionally fuck things up?
Yeah, yeah.
Because the 33 was a good bus when it ran down Fremont.
Oh, yes. Did it run down Fremont?
It ran down Fremont in front of my kid's middle school.
Oh.
Ran more than every 45 minutes like the 24 does.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah, yeah. The 24 and the 70, I believe, is the one that now serves the correction facility up there near Columbia River and whatnot.
Well, there's a need for that.
Well, yeah, because some guy gets out. How are you going to get back?
Well, you know those signs that say, do not pick up hitchhikers by the correctional institutions? They got to take the bus instead.
Right, so. Right. Yeah.
They need a bus line up there.
Easy enough, yeah. It'd be interesting if, you know how they have those special symbols for bike lanes where like the people that are striping the lanes get creative and they put down, like up on, I believe it's Cornell. I drive past this one every day on my school bus route, and it is a unicyclist with three balls juggling in the air.
I'll be damned.
As opposed to down there on 33rd, I believe it is a guy with a bag of golf clubs slung over his back as he's biking. As
the because it's right near the golf course.
But I was wondering, it'd be funny if they found some way to incorporate...
Ball and chain.
Oh, okay, there we go. I think we got...
They maybe like make the shirt striped.
Striped shirt and then a bike trailer with a ball and chain in it.
Easy enough. Easy enough. Hey, that's a solution. Now that would be a different beginning to Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Because that does have a transit theme beginning.
That's true. Yeah,
although
they get on the train tracks.
It is a misappropriation of freight transport, but we'll look past that. But can you imagine how much easier it would have been if they had a bike trailer with which to put that that little heavy iron ball into?
Good point.
Would have worked out okay. Yeah. Hey, I got sick.
You did.
I got hella sick.
You got strangely sick.
Oh my God. It was so weird and ridiculous. And I tell you what, Jeff, I will let you guess. And let me make the disclaimer. We're all in the room together. I believe I am past the full bloom of illness, and I do not believe I am I don't think the thing can hop from me to anybody else, as far as I know.
Well, as far as modes of contagion,
like
how it spread.
That's right.
I think we're good.
Yeah, okay, yeah. So let's share this, and then we'll take a poll around the room.
Wait,
at
is
the
this
end.
An animal to human thing we're talking about here?
You
contagion?
Might think so,
okay.
And yet not.
There are no animal names in this.
Right, although it's easily confused with another
that
disease
is true.
That animal-based. And animal afflicting. I got the human version. The two don't cross over, and there's no connection between the two. But
they
when I said, hey,
names.
I have X, my friend said, oh, isn't that a sheep disease?
Right.
I said, you shut up. So I got a fever. Like, it was a really bad fever on, I think, Tuesday night. And I was like, oh, well, this sucks. I, you know, it's springtime. I guess I'm getting whatever it is that the kids have or something like that. And I figured I just waited out. So I had a fever. I thought I should have taken the day off of work. It probably would have been a good idea. But I woke up the next day. The fever was largely gone. And I was like, oh, I'll just go in. And so I did. And I came back and I felt kind of tired. And I slept over another night. And I think the fever finally left me. But then I noticed on Thursday, I'd had this new pair of shoes. And I was like, I haven't broken these shoes in yet. My feet sure feel uncomfortable. And I checked out my feet and I had these like really severe blisters. I was like, this is the last time I ever, you know, wear this brand of shoe. I thought that was it. I thought it was just kind of a, maybe it was like the fever sweat, kind of the pores in my feet were clogged and couldn't handle it or something like that. But what it turned out to be was something that also spread to my hands. And I still have some scars on my hands from this.
Oh, shit.
So turns out.
Do we get to guess?
Would you like a guess?
Hand and mouth disease.
One more.
I guess babies just get that.
Well, you would think.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah. One more component.
foot, hand, and mouth disease.
There it is.
Whichever order you prefer. That was it. And yeah,
man
again,
with kids, of course, he knows this.
Sure, yes. Yeah. So has anyone in your family?
I'm a fucking doctor. Come on.
Okay, right.
Good
I'm
point.
Not that
good
kind
point.
Of doctor, but I know shit, okay?
Look at my elbow. No, it's...
Well, then don't do that.
No, it's... yeah, it apparently, like, it's supposedly largely a children's disease. But me, at age 31, soon to be 32, I had a full-blown outbreak of hand, foot, and mouth disease.
You know, as someone who got the chicken pox at age 30...
Oh, did you?
Oh, shit. Oh.
Yeah, tell us about this.
I had just started a new job. It's right when I started working at OPB.
Okay.
Years into C30. That was a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Is this when you were chasing politicians with clip-on mics?
I was.
Okay.
Just as a hobby, actually, at that point. And then I got a job doing it. It was like my dream come true.
Start as paparazzi, get paid later.
But I had worked there about 2 weeks, and I got the chicken pox. I was standing in line at the Keno's grocery store on Burnside, the one that burnt down that all the old people went to.
Oh, interesting. And is that where you played Keno?
Side note, when it burnt down, they had a shuttle bus for the old people to go to the other Keno's, and then they brought them back to that
really?
One. It was awesome.
Really? Kind of like the Walmart shuttle?
Because they're so used to that one destination.
Yeah, they didn't know how the fuck to get anywhere else. And I'm going to go to the grocery store. So I was standing in line, and I just about passed out, and I felt this thing on my head, and I thought, oh, shit on my head. That's weird.
That's inconvenient.
I was down for the count for a week and a half or more. Just fever, couldn't get out of bed, and I had to call my job that I had gotten 2 weeks earlier and tell them I wasn't coming in for 2 weeks.
You know that impressive benefit list you showed me? I'm going to start utilizing it.
Yeah, is this one of the covered illnesses?
Wow. So how long does it take to clear up as an adult?
It took a couple weeks.
Okay.
I mean,
wow.
It was rough. It was a fever. It was intense fatigue.
Yeah.
I was, you know, drinking a lot back then too.
So okay. Sure.
No, I wasn't really.
So
it might help.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could have helped actually. It was like Keno's buying beer. Who knew?
Right. Right. This is full-on chicken pox in that you are covered in little red spots,
right? I was,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Wow. I was going to have people pay to bring their kids by. See if Jenny McCarthy wanted to come over and catch them.
Just in the interest of her safety, you want to make sure that she's okay. No, I remember that when I was a kid, I had this very similar experience. I don't know, Aaron, if you ever had this or not. But,
I've had chicken pox, yes.
Okay. No, but the thing where all of a sudden someone you know...
They'd bring their kids.
Someone you know has the pox... And the parents has the bright idea of like, well, our kid needs to have this someday so they can get it over with. So go play together. Why don't you two kiss? Something like that.
Here's what's really weird. Apparently you can
say they're my cousins
on the internet. You can get chicken pox infested stuff.
Wait.
Like, really? Like my son slept with this teddy bear.
Yeah,
I will
mail
it to you.
Exactly. Now, I don't know about transmission of chicken pox and whether a stuffed animal for 4 days is going to hang on to it, but
holy shit,
people will sell you some chicken pox virus over the internet.
Okay.
And probably a couple other things.
That's weird.
Does it come in
it's just really weird.
Frozen stasis? Do you have to like warm it up?
It's then... like Amazon when they delivered my camera and it said Nikon on the front.
Right.
You know, just, and they left it right in the front porch in view of everyone.
Oh, yeah.
It says chicken pox on the front of the box. Right.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that would pass muster for like the Postal Service though.
They don't give a shit. I got a friend who works for the Postal Service. He'd go, oh, put it in a plastic bag, drop it off.
Yeah, don't touch that.
Yeah.
Wow. That's interesting and kind of weird.
Yeah, it's really weird.
But Aaron, you were never made to play with someone who had the pox?
I'm trying to remember how I got it. I remember having it. I had it in first grade.
Okay.
And strangely enough, just about every member of my family in my generation, like all had it around the same time.
Mm.
But yeah, I don't remember if like, I was made to go play with like one of my cousins or anything like that.
I'm glad people were
so traumatizing. I blocked it off. Yeah.
You know? Hey, my cousin's got herpes and you can go by there his place. You're going to get it eventually anyway.
Exactly.
You might as well just get it over with.
Get it over with.
Thrush, shingles, whatever you want.
Yeah.
Wait, aren't we? This is going to air like sometime around like the lunch hour or something. We got
10 a.m.
A morning coffee break. Sorry, folks. Well, hey, I'm trying to think if there's anything else we need to recap before we jump into transit talk. Is there anything else I'm missing?
I don't know. Like, I kind of want to talk about the donut experience.
Oh, yeah. You should talk about the donut experience.
Should I talk about the donut experience?
Wasn't that a 70s band that one of the guys from the Grateful Dead grew out of?
Yeah. Right after the string cheese incident, there was the donut experience.
There was the donut experience.
And what, the electric prunes?
Yeah. Yes. Well, after too much of the donut experience, you need some electric prunes.
Indeed.
So I rolled up. I was running some errands around the Gateway neighborhood.
That's my hood.
Yeah. Well, you may know this donut joint then.
You mean Heavenly Donuts?
Heavenly Donuts. Not so heavenly.
Yeah, well, we should say that the establishment themselves has not to be blamed
good
for
point.
This.
Good point. No, it was, yes.
That's why
sorry.
We can share their
it
name.
It was not a very heavenly experience if it was at the donut shop.
If it was their fault, we wouldn't say their name.
No. In fact, I will be honest, I have much respect for the people who work there.
You guys are whoring for donuts, aren't you?
I would not argue if a box of donuts showed up.
Somehow, yeah.
Yes. That would
No, the people who worked there were really cool, very polite to me. What had happened was I rolled up on my bike. There's nowhere to lock your bike up there. Mm. Looked through the windows because, all glass storefront.
You know why? Because people in Gateway only ride stolen bikes.
Well, and that's why I wouldn't leave my bike outside. I rolled it in, and one of the customers there, at the little bar place, flipped his shit and was just like, you can't bring that in. No, you can't bring that in here. And I'm like trying to explain there's nowhere to park. It's just here. It's not in anybody's way. It's not even near the door. And he just kept coming back at me, and I kind of lost my cool, and we ended up like shouting at each other.
Oh, interesting. I didn't realize it was a shouting match.
Oh yeah. It got kind of bad, and he like threatened to call the cops, and I'm like, go ahead, this is harassment. And at one point he like opens the door and he goes to grab my bike, and that's when like just that reptile brain like ooh. Kicked in, and I was like, don't you fucking touch my bike.
It's like someone trying to kidnap your kid.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I was like, that's assault on my property. We need I don't know if that's legally true, but.
Wow.
But yeah, and he's still like talking about calling the cops, and I asked him like, what are you, the owner? And he like stammered yes, which I was like, no, you're not.
Show me your business card.
Yeah. And so then I just began to ignore him, and I went in, I bought my donut, and just to sort of rub it in, I stayed a little bit longer and was like, you know what? Can I have some coffee? I think I'll have some coffee while I'm here. And like, I was like chilling out for a second and just about to leave. And just as I'm leaving, the guy like mumbles like, and don't come back. And then like, bam, I came back like. All of that trauma comes back at me, and I'm like, what if I do, huh? What if I do?
Wow.
It was kind of intense, and I'm
glad I wasn't there.
Never lost my cool in public like that before.
Right. Well, that's very interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
I wish there was a psychologist here. To
Seriously.
Oh, fuck.
If only there was someone who understood.
Hold on. We need to trade places. The I need to be the one on the couch here. The couch. You need to be on the chair.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Well, Jeff, as a licensed psychologist, do you have any perspective on this situation?
The old guy has a clinical condition we call being a dick.
Okay. It's good to have
That's all I know. The DSM-4 just changed to DSM-5, and being a dick is in the DSM-5.
Holy shit.
It's good to have that acknowledged, clear to the public. Okay. Easy enough.
But you can't get insurance coverage for it, unfortunately.
Oh. Ah. Well, no wonder he's so bitter.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got this condition, and he can't get coverage.
Tried to access therapy in the Gateway area, which is also a problem.
Yes. My goodness. Well, okay. So this is far more interesting than it sounded. And
yeah.
It was pretty interesting already.
And so like I'm stuck with this quandary here because I like donuts.
Yes.
Generally, I frequent another donut shop, Donut Queen. Mm. Pretty awesome. And so as I'm riding back, I'm like, you know what? Why did I go anywhere else? I just happened to be in the area. I should just stick with Donut Queen. And then another side of my brain is like, no, because then that motherfucker wins. you're going there every Sunday morning now.
I'm going to eat donuts every single day.
Until he drops dead from anger. Yeah, that's a little vindictive, I guess. Yeah, this would make a good episode of Marin, actually.
Oh, good
if
point.
If we could somehow twist Marc Maron into a bicyclist, which he is, I think, by no stretch of the imagination.
There is a bike shown in the intro.
Oh, really?
As he opens the garage.
In the garage. Oh, yeah. So this could happen.
This is possible.
All right. Yeah. It sounds like we need to get a script together.
Writers
and
for Marin?
Yes.
This is ours. We'll get this for you.
Yes. We mailed it to ourselves today, postmarked. Copyrighted, so I hear. I'm glad that there was no further altercation. I hope you're okay.
Yeah, physical and like, I'll be honest, like up until he went to touch my bike, I did not swear.
Mm.
And after he like backed off from touching my bike, I didn't swear again.
Uh-huh. That was the hot point right there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, and you've already had one stolen.
Yeah, that's the thing. Right. And
is there anyone in town who has not had a bike stolen?
Yeah, it's a good question.
Really, there's one guy who lives somewhere in the Portland city limits who has never had a bike stolen.
Does Lake Oswego count?
No.
Okay.
Those are too heavy. Those are the ones that have motors on them and stuff. And one question before
those
I
come
forget,
from West Lynn.
Isn't Heavenly Donuts right across from the most weirdly placed Ferrari repair shop?
Oh, yeah,
the
Maserati Ferrari shop.
Yeah. On 102nd and Gleason, there's a Ferrari shop.
Which you never really see, like, anything outside of the shop.
No, that's, yeah.
The doors and all the garage doors and everything are always closed.
I was talking to a guy at there's a rental car place across the street where I've gotten rental cars a couple times. And he said it's like this elaborate ritual when they close up for the day. You know, there's 14 different alarms to set and all these different locks and stuff.
So maybe it's a front for something. Is that what we're thinking? Has anyone ever seen?
Everything is.
I suppose you're right. This podcast you're listening to.
Let's get deep here. Everything is
don't
a front
trust
for
us.
Something. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I'm just saying, like, if you've never seen a luxury car outside of this establishment, if you've never seen one coming in or going out, is it like Gone in 60 Seconds where like there's some coke on the back bumper and somebody has to gun the engine while
somebody else is there? I don't remember that.
You guys don't do that?
No, that would be wrong and illegal.
Right.
I would require a car, which I don't have. So.
In fact, we don't endorse that.
I do it on the back of my 2001 Toyota van. So
that was Dr. Jeff that said that.
Sorry, we might have to cut that part out for the radio edit, don't we?
We'll see. Yeah. So, Dr. Jeff, you are famously a transit fiend is too harsh of a word. I think a hero probably is the best word to start with. You're a celebrated writer.
God?
Yes.
A transit god?
Yes, a deity of some sort or another.
I'm a little lapsed. I mean, I tweeted a lot and rode the bus on the way here just to kind of get back into the swing of things.
Ah, yes. I retweeted you on your way.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It was funny. I've been tweeted for weeks, and I tweeted something earlier that got retweeted about 15 times, and I thought,
yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm missing. Give me the stuff.
This is the validation I was looking for.
Yeah.
Well, see, this speaks volumes, I think, to exactly how popular you were as a transit tweeter. So
they're waiting for me to drop more wisdom.
Exactly. All you have to do is
at least ask what it was that I tweeted that got retweeted.
Oh, hang on. Please. Let's reset this. Dr. Jeff, what did you retweet? Oh, wait, no, sorry. Again. Dr. Jeff, what did you see the thing is?
Tell us about it. I was on the bus, and there was a guy with, you know, those shoes that were really popular about 4 or 5 years ago that had the toes?
Air Jordans?
No.
Wait, oh, sorry,
no,
Clinton administration.
Okay. Yeah.
Which one?
Like shell toes?
No,
like,
they're like water shoes, kind of, and each toe is individually articulated.
Oh, okay, those Keens.
Yeah, and you haven't seen them for a while because people buy them at Goodwill and wear them now.
Because they're full of fungus now.
And what I said was, those things scare me because I'm afraid that company is going to start making men's pants.
Yes. Form-fitting.
Yeah.
Dangerous.
Yes.
Yeah.
It worked on Twitter. I didn't really work very well here. You can get rid of that whole thing.
Hashtag walls.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
We'll cut out the silence
good,
after
thank
that.
No, that's good. So Famously, Jeff, you had a transit commute that took you 4 hours a day, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah,
from Gateway
75
to,
miles from Gateway to Pacific University in Forest Grove.
Okay, yeah. And that was, how long did you do that for?
Well, a couple of years.
Okay, yeah.
That is insane.
I got hooked.
What?
You got to get hooked. Into it.
Yeah, I got into it. Someone offered me a helicopter. I said, no, I'm not going to do that shit.
Yeah.
No, as you know, I have 5 children.
Yes.
Relatively non-private life.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I tweet and blog, you know,
because what's nothing, the point?
Yeah, why bother? Yeah. Fuck
it. NSA.
Put my x-rays up there, whatever. But it was...
Look at my kidney stones.
Exactly. It became this...
5 fingers pants.
It became a refuge of sorts. I mean, I think on the way in, it was great. On the way home, you kind of wished that it would speed up a little bit and you'd get home. But it wasn't... I was thinking about that on the way in, too. It's not as big a deal as people think because it's not like you're put into suspended animation. And, you know, you got to wait to get off of the bus or train to do something.
Right.
You know.
Like the Star Trek episode of Space Seed.
Exactly.
You're just like floating out there waiting for Kirk to find you. And then all of a sudden, you know, and then 20 years later, gone. So, yeah.
Nerd.
Felt that way sometimes.
But no suspended animation.
No, and so...
Although you are a Superman.
I would tweet, I would write, I would read, I would listen to music, I would do all kinds of stuff, and then I would get to work, and sometimes I'd get to work and go, oh, I'm at work already.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so not quite enough time.
No, I need a few more hours. Couldn't
this commute be longer?
Well, if you routed it through Tigard, then...
And now it's about a mile walk over to the transit center every day. Which I'm planning on moving in it. I'm going to miss that part, actually, because it'll be a shorter walk.
Yeah. See the previous episode. There was a great reading that you did some years ago now about your morning walk to the transit station.
And now it's a half hour or less downtown, and I'm done. And I think when we talked about this before, maybe.
Okay.
That the first couple of times I went downtown, I missed the stop on, you know, 5th there because I mean, why get off the max after 30 minutes?
Right, right. Yeah,
keep
you're
going.
You're in your groove.
Yeah, exactly. I was in my groove.
Yeah. Do you miss the tunnel?
No, I don't miss the
tunnel.
Okay,
because the West Side Tunnel is that was the very first, I think, TriMet improvement. It started running from Gresham to downtown Portland, and then at some point they got this big boring machine. They
called
made a huge
Beauregard.
Was it really?
Yeah, that was the name of the tunnel bore. I wrote a thing for that for the TriMet Diaries about how much I fucking hated the tunnel.
I need to go back. I'm sure I read it. It's probably been a while. Actually, there hasn't been much on TriMet Diaries lately.
Well, the owner of the TriMet Diaries had triplets?
Triplets? I believe it's twins.
Multiple birth.
Yes,
twins. And triplets are the same, actually, when you get down to it. More than one baby.
Well, you have two. Another one, really.
Five
no
or six
deal.
Babies is the same as two babies. Well, two babies is too many.
Yeah, discount after two.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, it's that was the very first where they extended the blue line all the way to Hillsboro. And yes, that tunnel is fascinating. I like the station at Washington Park because there's that great elevator.
Well, and they have that. They have what they did was they took a core sample from above, and then they run it sideways along that stop.
Yeah.
So it shows you all the different strata that are in there, you know, from the top to the bottom. The problem is they make a big deal out of how far underground you are.
Does that bother you?
A little.
Okay.
A little.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
like, is you're claustrophobic or something?
I am actually not claustrophobic.
Oh, okay.
And I should know the word for tunnel phobia, but I don't know what it is.
It's okay.
Yeah. But it's specific from claustrophobia.
All right, I'll admit I'm most bothered because you lose your phone signal in there.
True. So here's the thing. I've spent a lot of time in Boston, and I know famously they have a subway system. Part of that subway system runs above ground, which is weird. But I believe downtown at the interchange where all the trains meet, they installed cell phone translators. Is that like a little...
Transponders?
Something like that. An antenna that takes the cell signal from the greater world outdoors, brings it down underground so that you can tweet and text and whatnot.
Kind of like a doubler.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the doubler effect.
Right.
Yeah. That's the thing that is missing here in Portland. So
why wouldn't TriMet do a thing where for an extra quarter or something on a ticket, they would just give you a wireless password and install and pay for it in 5 minutes and then make money?
That's interesting. Although it makes me think of Boingo, and we all know how many people use that at airports.
That's true, and everyone would just pass the password around, so, which as it should be.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's far too complex for the way that wireless is going.
And TriMet, for that matter.
Well, yes. Yeah. So your new commute, much shorter. What do you notice aside from the length? Like, is there any difference in the attitude that you have while riding, the experience in general?
I think that I catch myself about once a week reminding myself to enjoy it as much and to soak that part up. I mean, there's this little space in your life where you're doing something that, and the walk is great because you're out there in it. And today, in fact, when I was walking home, there's a chain link fence that has a thing that people walk through, and then you go kind of into my neighborhood there.
Oh, yes.
And I walk past this tree just laden with flowers and 10 million bees in it, and it smelled amazing, and the bees were buzzing around. I thought, this is, if I was in a car, first of all, I wouldn't be going down this street, but if I was, I would have shot past that thing, you know, looking at my phone like everyone does, so yeah. I would have missed it.
Right. Yeah.
I had a similar experience just on my way here too. I was riding up 42nd, is it? From Hollywood Way.
Okay.
And someone was grilling out.
Ooh.
And I could smell it. And I was thinking to myself, if I was in a car,
yeah,
I would have never known this. And I was like I smelled it and I was like, oh yeah, that's delicious.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just taking me back.
And then you go from there. Because you're still walking or you're still riding and you have time to kind of trip out on it a little bit and think about something that evokes a memory. And then you're doing, you know, and you're not kind of wondering when you're supposed to turn right or look out for the, you know, kid in the middle of the road on his tricycle
sure.
or whatever.
Yeah. It makes you more human and it helps you enjoy the human experience more.
I agree.
To be outdoors. What do you do in the rain? Obviously, I'm sure you raincoat and such, but
I just lie there on the ground and cry. Fuck, not more rain.
As far as being a pedestrian, because you have a sizable commute, a mile is more than many people walk in this town.
It's, so. Yeah, 15-minute commitment usually. You can't do much. I mean, you can have a coat with a hood on it. That's about it. And the problem with Portland is it's so temperate here that a lot of times the rain comes when it's 55.
Oh,
so
yes.
You're wearing a coat and you're sweating on the inside and it's wet on the outside. You can't really use an umbrella because on the east side there's always like a steady 20 mile an hour wind.
Oh, okay.
So
I was going to ask about that because umbrellas are famously unpopular in the Northwest.
I think it's the wind.
Okay.
I mean, I really do. I think the only guy who has a strong enough umbrella is like the umbrella man on Pioneer Courthouse Square.
Because it's coated in silver
brass.
Like spray paint.
Yeah. But I mean, that's about it. You need a brass umbrella and then you're that's too much weight, right?
Yeah. I like the assumption that that umbrella is an actual umbrella that they just bronzed.
Yeah. The they melted it and bronzed it like a cast.
Does that mean that the guy is also an actual dude that they just got? Yeah. It's like some honored
gallery.
Citizen passed away. They're like, all right, we're going to memorialize him forever.
Right. Look, he's holding an umbrella. That's perfect. But I think that that's the thing about walking over in the rain. Also, as you get on the Max and everyone's been in the rain, and if you... You ever get on the Max and the signs are off or the little reader board is off? So, you know, you'll be going to say 181st in your downtown.
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah.
I think about those people who are on the Max for the first time because they read about it in, like, Sunset Magazine
sure,
or the New York Times. And they're like, what, 181st? And
they're like getting off in a panic.
The windows are all fogged up, you know, and
so
they
you can't see.
Stepping off the train on some strange... You know, stop somewhere that they didn't intend to.
Yeah, double that if you're deaf or something.
Yeah,
you can't hear. Exactly. Or even if you have headphones in, which is tantamount to being deaf sometimes.
Right. I think hearing impairment is the ideal state to ride the transit in.
It makes it easier.
Everyone uses artificial hearing impairment where they put the earbuds in,
including me. Yeah.
Every once in a while, like, my phone will die or something. I won't be able to listen to music. And I go, oh, Jesus. That's why. That's why.
Yeah.
So, Max versus bus.
Is this a thing? Like, are they going to have a... I want to see that. No. They got, like, full speed at each other?
Well, if I'm getting you right, like, it's not...
Yeah. Look at that thing, like with the monster truck ads. Max versus
Sunday, bus.
Yeah.
And if it's chicken, I know who wins.
I think both. I think my thing is, and I keep realizing this about myself, and it's embarrassing, but I geek out when I get to go on a bus that I don't usually go on. Uh-huh. I mean, I go on the Max all the fucking time.
Right.
And I came over here and I rode the 77, which I hardly take, and then the 75 down to here, and almost missed the 77, which would have been stupid.
Wow.
But I went out to visit my wife at work and to pick up the car, and I took the bus that rolls out Holgate, and I'm like, I've never been on this bus before. I'm like jumping up and down like I'm on a field trip to the ice cream factory. Oh, we're going to Holgate Avenue is great.
I think next time you need to inform everybody on the bus.
This is my first trip on the number 87.
They should thank have like the a driver as you go out. Thank you so much.
They should have a card like a coffee card.
Yeah.
You know? You ride like 20 different bus lines. You get a free ride.
There we go. Exactly. Yeah. I have actually thought about that, of trying to fill in, like, you know, the have ridden the entire system at least once.
Yeah.
But the amount of time it would take to do that, you might lose some of those legacy lines that they're eliminating from time to time.
I did a thing about doppelganger bingo one time, which I thought would have been cool, where you see, you know, the entire cast of Family Ties or something like that, and you get to cross stuff off.
I like this idea. Also, I don't know if this happened before or after we had you on last time, but there was this guy who was doing what they call the tube challenge. His name was Adam Fisher. He was from the UK, I believe. And in London, it's called the Tube Challenge because the goal is to reach every rail station on the system.
Wow.
Not to get off or disembark at each station, but to be in each one on the train. And between those, obviously, there's some running to do it in the shortest amount of time possible.
Isn't that kind of candy ass not getting off?
Kind of, except it would take like 5 days if you had to get off at every station.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
So you gotta have a backpack.
Yeah, exactly.
All your, like,
gear. Like you stay awake for 5 solid days. Now that I'm impressed by. Stay on the train. What the hell? Everyone can do that.
A little bivy sack. Yeah. You just gotta, you could hide out underneath one of those little bicycle receptors at the Gateway Transit Station. Just kind of pop it up, the little fiberglass shell.
I don't ever want to open one of those up to see what's actually under there. Those fiberglass clamshells. You know, Jimmy Hoffa.
And I guess, and D.B. Cooper.
The missing 18 minutes of the Nixon transcripts or something like that.
And Sasquatch. Yeah, exactly. They're all there.
Well, you, of course, are familiar with the famous Kingston Trio song about the MTA.
No.
This was Charlie.
It's Charlie. His wife throws him a sandwich when he comes rumbling through. Because it used to be, I think, that you had to have a ticket to get off the train. So he gets on without a ticket, and he just rides around endlessly. And every morning, his wife tosses him a sandwich as he goes rumbling through the stop.
Because he cannot afford. Yes.
Poor old Charlie.
Right. And that's why now the RFID card that you store your fares on in Boston is called the Charlie card.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yes. The Kingston Trio. Also, they wrote a song called Portland Town, which is on one of their records, which I have here. And what else did they do? I think they were from Seattle originally, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong about that.
But everyone is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cobain, Pearl Jam, Kingston Trio.
Right.
Same.
Yeah, I can see that.
Same bloodlines.
Right. Well, there's a Kingston Ferry. Maybe that's why I thought so. I need to do my research before I make definitive statements like that about folk groups that everyone cares about, because I'm sure there's a lot of people yelling into their earbuds right now.
No, damn
it. You're wrong.
Yeah.
Oh, Dr. Jeff's talking about old people shit again.
No, see, kids, there was this large 12-inch platter with grooves on it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Also, by the way, X-Ray FM. Broadcasting from Rocky Butte, which is right near right near your location. Yeah. Are you familiar with this?
Kind of in passing.
Okay, because you're on it right now.
Oh.
Not live, but...
Fantastic.
Yes, we have to go back and edit it.
Finally, some distribution like worldwide.
Yeah. X-Ray, famous for having a ton of vinyl being spun on the airwaves. So.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
I love how it came back to that.
Yeah.
How it was, you know, I mean, I've got a bunch of vinyl, obviously, because I'm an old guy, and finally I just hung on to them, and now they're cool again.
Yeah, and I've got a bunch of vinyl because I'm a young guy, so at least I have delusions of that.
Exactly.
But, yeah. No, I think the biggest thing for me about vinyl is the fact that if there is a zombie apocalypse, you can do the thing where you spin the record and then put a pin in between your teeth and drag it through the grooves. You ever do that?
I can't really talk about that.
Okay. But, yeah. Because that's a, it's, what is it? It's an airless transmission of sound. The grooves vibrate the needle, which go directly to the three bones inside your ear.
Well, what we did was we fucked up a lot of records because we would do that thing where we put a nickel on the tone arm.
Oh, yeah.
If it was skipping.
Oh, right, yeah, right. Yeah.
You put
and it keeps
5 grams
but, like,
of, you know, metal on top of the tone arm and just
drags it.
It was like
further,
a lathe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything sounded like Olivia Newton-John after like 5 spins.
And that was all.
Yeah.
But the thing, yeah, the thing with vinyl, like, isn't that why the Congressional Library or Library of Congress is converting like a bunch of stuff to vinyl is because it's
Of
this legacy technology that you can just figure out with very little, you know, electricity or non-electricity.
It's really not non-electricity. I want to know what how we produce non-electricity.
Well, okay.
Anyway, I won't go there. I'm not a religious man. I don't want to go there. But it's interesting because when CDs, I remember clearly when CDs came out and they were really expensive and they had, you know, Foreigner and, you know, Steely Dan or something where that's
right.
all you could get. But there's a little space, I think, that we hear between the zeros and the ones of digital music, no matter how huge the digital file is, you know, now that now it finally sounds like vinyl,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Lossless.
They had
lossless
vinyl.
Is a word now.
Yeah, like, there are little nuances in there that, like, you know, Charlie Parker or, you know, Donald or Jeff Baxter or whoever, you know, I mean,
yeah,
hit. And I don't think that, god damn, I sound like an old guy.
Our Booker
telephones
T and the MGs
used to have wires, they sounded better.
But you had to keep the string taut.
Yeah, you did.
So, no, we'll get back to transit, but just one more thing about audio. I just because, like, I think about this a lot. Also, I like that you're setting your drink on the high fidelity coaster as I do so. The thing about vinyl is that you have this analog wave of sound, which goes up and down in smooth, soft waves, essentially. Like, if you zoom in really, really tight and close on these waves.
Sound is.
Yes,
not brittle little stair steps.
That's the thing. And so it's like a serrated knife against your ear. Again, hello, lunch hour people. But no, that's the, you're taking something
Van Gogh?
Very rough and applying that to your ears. And yeah, like you say, it's the space between the ones and zeros that, yeah.
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 Also, while we're on the subject.
Yes.
I will posit music should not have ever been recorded in the first place.
That's right. You've told me about this.
Yes. Music should be experienced.
Because the live experience is killed when you try to can it.
Correct.
You ever try and put your beautiful pet bunny rabbit into a can? So you
I
can
did.
Open it up later and experience the fuzziness 5 years down the road.
So by that, then so Mark Twain should have just spoken and never been written
right,
down.
Right, right. Exactly. We should have never learned to read.
What are we doing a podcast for?
Yeah, yeah, of course. Ones and zeros, damn it.
That's right. So, yeah, enjoy that serrated blade, everybody. Jeff, you had some experience doing some driving recently. Gasp.
Well, we're not going to riff on vinyl anymore. Yes.
We had to get the hard-hitting questions
drive,
sometime.
I do know how to drive, and on the weekends, I'm the driver.
Yes.
I drive the van around. And as I've said, I have 5 kids, and none of them drive, and they all still live at home.
Right.
And my wife would rather not drive ever,
mm-hmm.
although she drives every day and drives downtown and stuff. But I had a medical appointment in Tigard, of all places, at, I think, 8 a.m. So I had to be to Tigard at 8 a.m., which is the holy fucking grail of going anywhere from anywhere, because going to Tigard at 8 a.m. means you're going to be in the middle of rush hour.
Oh, shit, yeah.
And I trust me, I've been in bigger cities, and I know that Portland's rush hour is not terrible, but I drove 84 to I-5 and over the Markham Bridge and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And there was
through
a
the
guy
S-curves.
Stalled in the left lane of, you know, 84, and I was sitting in the car just going, why do people do this?
Yeah.
And everyone, every single person who drives is on their phone the entire time texting.
Oh,
everyone
yeah.
who's ever driven in the last 2 years, they're all looking at their phones or putting on their makeup.
This is a little disturbing, isn't it?
It really is, and I'm not just talking when the like traffic is slowed down.
Right.
I mean, you see them kind of look down, look up real quick to make sure they're not running into anything, and then it was a harrowing experience,
mm-hmm.
and it really made me happy that, I mean, if had I been able to find an easy transit route there, I would have done it. I really would, no matter how much longer it would have taken.
If you could have taken Wes over there.
west. But if I could have ridden west to Tigard. It sounds like a, I think I watched that in the 70s. I'm not sure.
The West Side Express train only runs like four times a day. Is that right?
It's kind of like the fucking 24 on Fremont. Now.
Yes. Yeah. Very infrequent. And good for those it serves. But anyone else that is not trying to get into the central city.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Joe Rose gave the secret away about how you can take Wes in the morning. I think he wrote a column about it or something.
Oh, yeah.
How there are like four people hanging. No, it wasn't Wes. It was there was an actual like train. I don't remember whether there's some commuter train that comes up from south. It might have been Amtrak.
Oh, we talked about Amtrak from Oregon.
Right.
City.
Yeah, people hop on there. He wrote an article. It was Amtrak. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
For Wes, like, though, I guess doesn't, you know, no one does that. So.
Mm, yeah. Huh. Yeah. Yeah, Wes was quaint, and it has Wi-Fi as well.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm done. I mean, I really, and I've got colleagues, all my colleagues. Well, actually, I'm on a team of four, and one guy drives downtown, and the other two take, one takes Max, and one takes the bus over, because the logic of sort of sitting there for 30 or 40 minutes and then getting out and paying $12 for parking or whatever just doesn't work.
For the privilege, yeah.
The freedom of it all.
The freedom of gridlock.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, ha-ha, all you drivers.
Well, yeah, so just let's do a little more compare and contrast. Just based on your experience trying to get to the doctor's office, what would have been different about that had a reasonable transit connection been available?
Well, part of it is I could have read or spaced out or, you know, just kind of listened to music
text
and enjoyed
with impunity.
Myself. Exactly.
Or without feeling like you're endangering.
Exactly.
Anybody.
And my thing is I don't get road rage. I don't get angry. I just get defeated in traffic. So I'm a pathetic driver in traffic. Like everyone's raging with their fist and I'm sort of like one single tear is rolling down my right cheek, you know.
It's road depression.
So yeah, I've road depression, so I think that would, which is funny because I used to love to drive. Uh-huh. Now it's just, I think it would have been nice to just hop on and go.
Sure. Well, I mean, the games that we play about driving when we are young are the games in which you are rolling around at high speeds, and if you crash into something, it doesn't really matter.
Right. Yeah. You feel good.
Somewhat skewed from reality, I suppose.
Exactly. And the only transit injuries are the occasional knifing on a Max platform and, you know, comes with the territory. So
I suppose so. Yeah. I believe there was a recent survey from TriMet about, it was either from TriMet or someone working with them, about safety around public transport. And I think it was specifically they were looking for female respondents because the stereotype is that women should be afraid of transit because bad things happen to women. And this is a larger cultural thing, obviously, that is kind of pervade. But what's your perspective on that?
I think that whether it's transit or driving or anything, I mean, obviously in our culture, women are in more danger out there in public than men are. And I think anyone, you know, well, I was going to say I hope anyone would agree, but unfortunately, that's not the case. My colleague who takes the bus doesn't like coming in too early because it's easy to feel threatened walking in kind of a dusk or gloaming or whatever, you know, whatever the light is.
Sure.
From her bus stop to work downtown at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
But I think it's interesting to note that there haven't been that many things reported lately on TriMet.
Yeah. And as a matter of fact, there was another press release from TriMet, I think, in which crime is down a certain percent. I want to say it was 25% system-wide compared to historic figures.
And, you know, when I've seen it, unless someone is wielding a dangerous weapon, people tend to step in and step up. But I'm a kind of a rush hour type commuter, so who knows? I don't know that if I were a single woman, I would feel tremendously safe in any mode of transport other than a car that I could... You know, but that's not a TriMet thing. That's just the way our culture is thing. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. What's the scariest situation you've ever been in on transit?
I had to kill a couple guys one time on the bus.
That must have been rough.
So they touched your bike, didn't they?
I don't think I've been in a scary situation on transit. I mean, really, I have seen stuff happen. Psychotic people go off, but I'm in the mental health business and psychotic people don't really scare me that much. And
you're equipped with some tools.
I'll check them to see if, you know, they've got their meds or whatever. I've seen older men harassing younger women, in which case, because I have a 14-year-old daughter, I'll walk over and tell them to cut it the fuck out.
Right. I think we covered that last time you were here.
And but I have never felt, but you know, I'm a middle-aged white guy. I'm the guy who doesn't have to feel threatened as a part of my existence, mm-hmm. I think, overall. So, but no, it hasn't been any sort of knife play or anything on anything I've been on.
Okay. Yeah.
Been in some dangerous situations in cars, but...
go figure.
Yeah.
Right. Comes with the territory.
Yeah, exactly.
Again. Yeah. Well, maybe just in wrapping up, unless there's anything else you'd like to share, and please chip it in, but I was curious, in what you have seen since you began taking TriMet, what has changed over this system throughout the time that you've spent?
Public opinion, mm-hmm. I think. It's interesting, I was in the news business. I know how this works. You get a couple of well-publicized issues. I mean, Lloyd Center went through this when there were a couple of incidents at Lloyd Center. All of a sudden, everyone was thinking Lloyd Center was gangland USA. Yep.
Was this a famous beanbagging?
There were a few things there. Yeah, okay. Some knifings and some various things.
There was some shootings there.
Just a couple. Now, come on, just a couple of shootings.
And now we have classical music being piped through speakers.
Yeah, so we feel better about that.
Apparently.
But I think just public opinion. I don't see any difference in the actual tangible writing experience. And I just think that TriMet does a not adequate job of pitching some of the more intangible joys of writing, and they're more sort of on the defensive a lot of times. Mm. And I think that might be kind of the deal. And so it's easy to uncover stuff that happens once in a while, but there's not a lot of it that I've seen.
Okay. Yeah. What is your favorite thing about TriMet currently?
That my work pays for most of my pass.
Hey, that's all right.
it's that space. It gives me some space. Yeah. I think for a lot of, if you need to get home or you need to get to work and you're like that person who I've got to go or I got to drive during the day, then obviously, you know, you've got other ways to go. But for me, I get a 15 minute walk and a half hour just kind of screwing off each way. And it's invaluable for that. I mean, I wouldn't, if I had a car sitting there to use, I don't think I would use it really.
Easy enough.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Is there anything we didn't cover that you'd like to go over?
Oh, there's so much. You guys got a few hours. No, I'm good. It's good to be back.
Well, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
Do you have some time for us to go over the news?
I do.
All right. Oh, actually, excellent. We don't have news. We just have mail.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But you know how much mail we've got?
I have news if you need some.
So. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? This sounder is actually a bike sounder. So you know what I'll do? I'll just do one of these.
That's it. Teletype in the background.
Yeah.
I saw a thing. I was in the reading room at work, as they say, and there was a little headline that said, "Birds and reptiles change due to global warming." And all I could think of was walking along, and all of a sudden you see like a reptile fly by and a bird walking along, kind of like head on his forehead going, "Fuck."
They figured us out.
That's my news.
All right. Well, and then. You have had the news, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, then. In that case, we got bags of mail. How much? Tons
I'm
and tons.
I'm afraid to ask.
Of mail.
We got mail. Hey, we got mail.
Jeff, do you know whose voice that is?
Sounds like Rudy Valley to me.
Mm. Close. What do we got, Aaron?
First off, Neighbor Kelly.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, both Kellys were on the Midnight Mystery Ride.
Oh, what happened?
Neighbor Kelly and Coffee Kelly.
I feel like this is one of those like
I had to keep them from touching.
It was like Star Trek. It was
so
Star
that
Trek.
The universe wouldn't implode.
It was when the guy, the half black and half white guys met in that little swirling tunnel thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Good old school reference.
Neighbor Kelly writes to us, "Got all caught up on the podcast today and really enjoyed this one. Maria, love the No Ride Is Too Short. Thanks for talking about the pink conversation. Learned a new term, fun tickets. Glad to hear Brock can see again, and sounds like you guys had a great time in the Bay Area. And yes, the Kellys, me, Neighbor Kelly, and Kelly with an E, Coffee Kelly, were in the Dales the same weekend as Maria, but different days."
So there we go. You know, without context, that mail sounds so interesting.
Doesn't it, though?
Yeah, but we'll let you all fill that in with back episodes at thesprocketpodcast.com.
Next, Jim writes to us, And a few more no, god dang it. And a few more palindromes to Brock's delight.
Do you want me to read them, Aaron, just so you don't have to?
Yes.
Okay. Jeff, are you a fan of palindromes at all?
You mean like Abel was I air, I saw Elba?
Yes. Yes.
No, I've never heard of palindromes before.
Surprising, given your fluidity with that. Yes. Red rum, sir, is murder. I think I may have used that one. Nurse, I spy gypsies. Run. Also kind of racist.
True.
Sex at noon, taxes. I suppose you could say that. And rats live on no evil star.
I read the sex at noon taxes, like sex at noon taxes. Like, so if you go into
God
H&R
damn government,
Block,
I swear.
If you go in to the IRS or to H&R Block, like right at noon, bam, there's your ticket.
Well, they're just going
to
tax sex at noon now. Have you filed your sex at noon taxes yet?
Doesn't that assume that you're paying for it then?
More big government.
Yeah, seriously.
Johnny K on free boxes. There is a website. Freecycle.org.
Freecycle is an entirely different website.
Oh, don't go there.
Don't go there. I have used it in the past, so this site should fix your free box issue.
The issue of free boxes being soggy and nasty and gross.
Yep. And they're too long. Post it on there, and people should come and get it. I think the issue is that people just don't know you have junk on the side of the road. Plus, more hashtag replace bike with car. Hey, you stupid car driver, get out of the road. Why don't you drive that car on the sidewalk? Is it safe to drive a car on the road?
All good questions.
Yes.
And statements and whatnot. Yeah. Thank you, John.
I had one I was actually thinking of the other day. Let's see if I can remember now. It's replace bike with car.
Yes.
Replace car with bike.
Oh, yes. I think there was a parallel meme.
Oh, there was.
If I'm not mistaken.
Okay. And the other question, which is why do we drive on parkways? And park on driveways.
Yes, seriously. Hang on.
Aren't you glad you came back?
He's quick on the soundboard, yeah. Isn't he?
It's the editing.
Well, it's the silence, yeah.
Post.
We'll cut that out in post. Shit. Okay, yes. So replace bike with car.
Yes.
Replace car with bike. And that is, be careful with your car at night. There's a lot of bikes on the road.
Ah, yes. Hashtag midnight mystery ride.
That's right.
Yeah.
Where was I? Oh, yeah.
Mark.
Mark writes in on his experience with hammock camping. He took a respectable trip to Ionia State Recreation Area north of Ionia near Saranac, Michigan. And he now greatly prefers it to traditional tent camping.
He also puts in that not all of Michigan is flat.
Right. Yeah. And sent some really good pictures.
Yeah, totally. No, it's a good looking rig, and he's got this hammock camping thing down now. He's only done it, what, the one time? But he's super excited about it. So, yeah.
Yeah. He's got a good setup. Trent from SLO. Everyone here just calls it SLO, standing for SLO.
Yes.
Or locals will just call it San Luis.
Yeah. And who else was it? It was Eric. A friend who I think I saw him on Lance Poehler's bike move, and he rode my tall bike, and he was also down there and heard everyone calling it slow.
Really?
Wait, did he hear it? Maybe someone called it SLO? I can't remember. It's conflicting accounts. Anyways, we have it from someone living in slow that it's just
that
called
is just slow.
Slow, yeah. And now we know. San Luis Obispo, California.
Daniel from San Antonio alerts us to his new blog on bicycling infrastructure and culture in his town.
Thanks, Daniel.
Yay.
That's bikesanantonio.blogspot.com.
And we will post a link to that. Chris from Arcata on the Devil's Slide, south of San Francisco. The non-motorized pathway that used to be the highway is actually brand new and officially opened at the end of March.
Literally days after we were there.
I was going to say, like, still not soon enough.
Yeah.
Currently, access is difficult, so it would not be that great right now as part of a bike tour route. As I understand it, they want to improve access to the pathway in the future. These two articles can tell you some of the story.
We got links.
I was in Portland while you were in California. Sorry, I missed you. By the way, hot off the press, brand new hostel in Arcata. First of its kind here.
Yes.
Discount to hostel goers on bicycles.
And if you haven't been to Arcata, and I'm saying this non-facetiously, the Eureka Arcata area is beautiful.
It is fantastic.
I've heard that a lot since
it's
living
lovely,
here.
Lovely, lovely place.
Yeah, I would move to Arcata in a heartbeat if I had like no obstacles and nothing else happening here. I would be there.
Yes, yeah, it's gorgeous.
Yeah, and I believe that's the Redwood Lily, and it's a 15% discount, something like that.
I don't have that. Right
oh no,
in
no,
front
no
of
I
me,
think that's what it was from their website. Okay. So yeah,
we got a link to that.
Yeah.
So and lastly. I think you should queue up some fanfare for this one.
Oh, yeah, totally. Hang on just a minute. Well, you know what it's going to be.
I'm a Bikineer.
This kid.
Congratulations to the stick man on the birth of his son, Jeremiah, born on March 27th.
That's right.
9 pounds, 3 ounces.
Yeah. And he put a picture up on Twitter of the child, and the child is alert, eyes open, kind of a smile on his face. I'm very happy about this.
Ready for biking?
Yeah,
guard your refrigerator, dude. That's all I'm gonna say. As a father, guard your refrigerator
for the next 25 years.
Yeah,
yeah. Doesn't stop when they move out. Well, at least didn't for me. Always go home, see what's there, take a little extra.
Would you open like the side to side? Fridge and freezer, open both sides and just stare. Come up 20 minutes later, open it up, stare.
Just watching the kind of the cold air pouring out of it.
8-year-olds and really stoned people have exact characteristics in common.
But hey, I mean, why not, right? Yeah. It's there. It's, and I would assume if you have a refrigerator, it's there for
miracles
your
happen, man. Kids are very optimistic about that.
They are. All right. Well, hey, it's been a good show. Should we close it out?
Yeah, why not?
All right.
I got to get to work. Find us on the internet at thesprocketpodcast.com. Send feedback about the program and suggestions for topics or guests. Write to us via email. The address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. Call and leave us a message or text us at 503-847-9774. Connect with us on Twitter at Sprocket Podcast. Thanks to Ryan J. Lane for providing our theme music. Thanks to Hurtbird for our headline sounder, and thanks to our sustaining donors, Logan Smith, Shadowfoot, Katharina Melamgard, Roger Grigsby, and Wayne Norman, and thanks to Donut Queen for being awesome.
Yeah, yeah, all of you folks are great. We love you. Now brush your teeth and go to bed.
Good night.
This is kind of new, Aaron, you having like an evening commitment. So I'm trying to be more on the ball.
Oh.
About just having to be out by a certain
time.
Well,
we'll be all right. It's not as much of an emergency as like 2 weeks ago was.
Right, so. Right.
He's in a new round of funding for Portland Strippers 2 right now.
Yeah. All right, here it comes. What's wrong with this?
Oh, it's muted.
That would do it.
I have every confidence.
Come on, 6 times the charm. Here we go.
Aaron,
7?
You got somewhere to go? Is that what he said?
Only work, that's all.
All right. Well, it's nothing then.
I swear I got it.
A Sprocket Studios production.